Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, you Jack Frost of a Thursday night. Welcome to another episode of the Snowcast. You're joined by me, Owen, and my co-star. Yeah, DJ Walsh, and we're in J&K Walsh's pub, which was and just one other Snowcast, I think, was it?
Two. Of them's taken down.
Yeah,
rightly so.
Yeah, but we've had the last one was probably one of my favourite conversations we've ever had.
Yeah, Irish language.
Yeah, and that actually, I think, was one
took off.
That took off. That was one of our most popular, one of our most popular podcasts. But tonight, yeah, we're after having a nice night. All right, we started off in line. We had a beautiful ham dinner, roast ham.
Bit of roast ham. On a Thursday.
Watched a bit of Netflix, and then we tipped into town, and we started off in the Wander Inn. So we've never recorded it and never will record
podcast
in the Wander Inn, because it is probably the most magical place. It's like I stepped out of the place earlier on there tonight, and I thought I had gone into the future when I stepped out of there, because this place is so far in the past.
Because you had stepped out of the past.
Yeah.
It's the kind of place that if you took a microphone out on it, you'd be treated like Marty McFly.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So we took down from mine, and we stepped into the Wander Inn, and we were met by the barman panned out on the couch. And goes, "Ah, man, so are you getting on?
Out of eyes.
What do you want? So, parents, DJ had put his round in, and he got the two gin. Actually, the first time we were in there, we saw the Beamish tap like right in front of us, and we said, "Sure, we get 2 pints of Beamish." So, and he goes,
"That hasn't worked for years."
This is just here for sure. It's class though. Like they have, I pointed out to you the 7-Up price list that they had.
Yeah.
This really old 7-Up price list that has like the old 7-Up mascot kind of guy on it and everything, and they have a Rothmans lamp shade.
Oh, it's quality,
like.
All Guinness, all hard signs, quality. But did you notice as well that we asked for the Guinness there tonight, and like he pulled it from the back bar.
Yeah.
So like obviously that tap isn't working either, like isn't active either. Like sure, there's no need to have two taps active like in there.
When there's but three people in it.
And one of them's a barman.
It's a real throwback though. You know, it's like I said this to you. After the last time we got into it, it's like the kind of pub Do you know when you see pictures of your grandparents or your parents in like the 70s, 80s in pubs?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you're picturing, like.
Oh, it is,
and
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's still the exact same as what I would have pictured that to be.
Like, I put up a photo on Instagram there earlier, and like, it's too high definition for what I should have taken.
It doesn't do it justice, no.
Like, no, it's like, it should have been like there should have been a flag boat mark in the corner of that in the corner of that picture, like, you know.
You should have taken it on one of those Kodak cameras, the yeah, disposable cameras, the
polarized, like, and a, yeah. And but yeah, we could, and also this place wasn't like, had a big enough TV in there. Ireland are playing New Zealand tonight in an international friendly. Was that on the TV?
Hell no.
UK TV Gold was playing Porridge.
We probably would have been here half an hour earlier, only for we were watching Dad's Army. And the crack that we had.
He was bursting us with laugh at Dad's Army.
Oh, stop. The Brits were always at it, weren't they?
Like, if I could give that man, like, I was saying to you as well that it was enough for us to be in there for 1 point, like. And we had so much fun for that 1 point, but like, I don't know if I could maybe have a second point in there, but like,
there was some lull for the third point.
Yeah. Like, you only get so much fun off old British comedies. But anyway, sure, look, it was a fantastic night. Walk down here to J&K Watches, and again, this is actually what we were saying was we'd love to buy the Wanderer Inn.
Yeah,
because it's this kind of old classical pub, but similarly to the pub that we're in at the moment, J&K Watches, where they've turned an old classic blind man's pub, and so if you go back to that episode, I don't know, it's about eight episodes ago now, I'd say, isn't it?
A few points about the Irish language, it's called.
A few points about the Irish language, and if you go to that episode, we describe this place and its unique qualities, few stories as well from my childhood and how I came across this place and stuff.
It was a grocery store, and if you look here now, there is a rotating lamp similar to the Rothmans one down in the Wandering, and there is Smiddick's, Guinness and Harp illuminations on the lamp, and that's what they serve on tap here.
Yeah,
and it's so simple, and the simplicity is the beauty of it. We're in a little snug to the side of the bar. There's really a little window. Through the window you can see a weighing scales, an old school weighing scales, not a digital one, like the proper
one where you have to put like the lead or whatever on the other side of the scales to marry it up.
At the moment you've got the Lindt Chocolatiers TV ad.
Trying
to promote, you know, because we're coming into that season now where like Lindt Chocolate are trying to promote themselves madly, and you get the Lindt Chocolatier chap who is putting the cocoa nibs in the, on one side the weighing scales, and the weights, and you're trying to get the right amount of chocolate. It's one of them style weighing scales, real old joke, and it's top notch.
And it's like a million drawers behind the counter. Yeah, like it's
the old kind of, actually people who gone to see Downton Abbey the movie, right?
Bastards.
Bastards. But the scene in that where they go down to buy the grub for the king, like,
yeah.
In the grocery store down the village.
What, and you just kind of keep them in there?
It's them kind of drawers behind, like, it's what it was like then.
Ah, it's cool enough, like.
Brilliant layout. And there's a lovely little divide in the bar. There's a front bar and the middle section of the bar towards the back. And then there's a little room out the back with a few stoolines and a little few small bits. And then there's the toilets, and that's it, like. And it's simple little salad of a pub.
I think
brilliant.
Yeah, I think those kind of long pubs, they're definitely a city pub.
Long and narrow.
Long and narrow, like, you know. The Long Hall in Dublin, great example of one.
Irish cities and towns are littered with this type of pub where it's a long bar, straight down, no,
like,
messing.
Yeah.
Tom Maher's is the same, not as long.
Yeah.
And then, like, when you look at Cork, the Courthouse in Cork, which is a really old bar, and the Castle Inn in Cork, which is an institution as well.
Yeah. He's literally trying to get as much space, like, as you can from a very narrow
entranceway,
like, and just
playing
it back.
A kind of place that was designed for smaller people in a time where people are shorter, nearly, like, isn't it, you know?
Like, even the door that we're coming in here, like you'd have to kind of stick down.
Are you seriously? You have to do right, though, like, coming in. it's top notch, like, it really, really is. And it's the exact kind of place that, like, of a quiet Thursday, when you want to have a few quiet pints, like, it's just heaven.
So, right, speaking of quiet pints, right, and the longing for a pint of a Thursday or a Friday, right? So, we've working with a colleague or two that are pregnant at the moment, right? And it kind of got us to thinking, like we as two males, right, cannot put ourselves in this position.
We've no appreciation of the predicament.
No appreciation at all, right, about the pregnant woman. Or the woman in general, I suppose.
Yeah. Fair point.
But we're thinking, like, right, so women should be off alcohol for the 9 months that they're pregnant. And in fairness, it's just something that just women just do. Like, they just automatically just go off. And, you know, there's never really qualms about it with women, right? But you would hear them saying, oh, fucking, I'd love a gin and tonic, or I'd love a whatever now.
Craving an old sopine, like.
Craving, right? So, Darren, if I was to ask you to put yourself in the body of a pregnant woman.
You're a real wordsmith. such children.
If you were to embody, is that a better term?
Yes,
phrase?
Right, oh, way better.
Yeah,
way better. And I no flag for this.
If you were to embody a pregnant woman, right? What after 9 months of pregnancy would you be absolutely fucking
gasping for?
Right.
Good question. Shout out to Sarah Brown, our mate.
Yeah.
Couldn't join us tonight.
Shouldn't have joined us tonight.
Absolutely. The thing is, right, say we're both drinking a pint of Guinness tonight here, because, like, it's absolutely the typical when you come to J&K Welch's and the Wanderin' as well, for that matter. But is Guinness a quencher? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And we actually discussed this briefly with our Sarah, the girl that we're working with, who's pregnant today, at lunchtime. And I asked her this question, and she said it depends on what time of the year it is. Mm. And I think she's spot on. She's really on something. If it was summer, the Legacy Dry Cider.
Yeah.
That's a quencher.
Yeah, because you are thinking about your first
sip. It's all about the first sip.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, beyond that doesn't matter. It's the first sip after going the bones of a year without a drink.
Mm.
Yeah, Legacy Cider, if it's the summer. If it's the winter time, I think you're hard pushed to beat a dark ale in the winter. When you're coming in, just for the quench factor now.
Mm.
Talk about the first sip. And, oh, you're catching me out now. Now, I did have a really nice red ale early on with the dinner that you kindly provided for me. It's a hoppy red ale by Wicklow Wolf.
Yeah.
Fuck, I can't remember the name of it now. Era. We look it up, we'll put it in the notes. 4.6% hoppy red ale, anyway, I remember.
Mm.
Wicklow Wolf. That was really good, actually. The first sip of that was really, really nice. It was kind of like really sweet. Finish, but it was like real hoppy in to start, and it was like a caramelly sweety kind of finish.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Really nice, really nice. That wouldn't be a bad one. But you know what though, it's hard to look past the cider when you're looking at quench factor just for a first sip in.
Yeah.
Like ice cold cider, when you just want that little, like, that quenching of the throat. Or do you know what wouldn't be bad either for an old first sip after going that long? An old whiskey ginger ale.
Yeah,
just for that factor, and then an all year rounder, you'd be looking at a lager, I'd say.
Yeah,
you could have a lager all year round.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Any old fucking lager do.
Yeah,
wouldn't differentiate between any of them really, if you've gone that long. It's like Sarah said to us today. Fuck whatever you get your hands on.
You'd literally take, like, I'd say you'd take the first drink that's put in front of you, like, you know.
Yeah.
after that length.
I suppose it's open to personal taste as well.
Yeah.
Personal taste as well. What would be fantastic if you could get it would be the Super Soaker.
Oh, yeah.
That would be an amazing first up.
I know. And it'd ease you back in as well. Like, wouldn't be...
The old 2.5% or whatever she was in around that.
It's around that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How about yourself?
So, again, totally agree that it's seasonal, right? So, I think in winter... because especially around if it was like Christmassy time, right, and coming into that, and there's this kind of that festive party atmosphere, right, and things kind of not get a bit fancier, but like get a bit more sociable and you know, a bit of kind of crack. So just finished the old pregnancy now, so I popped the young lad or young one, right, and I think I would go for an espresso martini.
Whoa.
At that. So, and I'm also getting my coffee kick back in as well, right? At that time.
So you've given up the caffeine for the pregnancy, have you?
Well, I think in larger amounts, in the amounts that I am drinking at the moment, I would be giving it up, like, probably have an out hit now and again, like in, you know, smaller runs. But, yeah, I'd probably go... you know, fucking straight in espresso martini.
We really should have got one of our female friends on for this topic who's had a child, like,
yeah, sure, fucking but no, I think definitely, right, I go for that. Like, this isn't about pregnancy really, it's about like,
it's about the quench,
it's about abstaining from for a long period for drinking what your absolute must have quench would be.
Do you ever notice though, right, if you go for a couple of pints once a week, every week, you have a fierce degree of certainty about what you want when you go to a pub. Once you go 2.5-3 weeks without having a drink and you go into a pub for the first time after not having a drink for 2.5-3 weeks, the choice anxiety hits you like mad.
Yeah, because so there's this thing as well, like I actually think that this is actually probably a bit deeper. This is more like a blind boy podcast topic now. But I think that, that abstention from things, right, and like or a lack of things, right,
yeah,
like and like a lack of experiencing things, makes you then want to ensure perfection in your next choice. So like it's the same as like say, building a house, like you know, if you're starting a new career or whatever, that, like because you haven't done it before, that you end up going like, shit, I need to make this perfect or whatever, whereas like people who have like done it a few times are same with like, you hear people who've had like say several kids, right, and like the first kid they're always like panicking and they're like making sure that, you know, they eat at like, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the day, 5 o'clock, you know, and like, you know, they have set routines. And
my parents didn't.
No, but like you do hear people who are on about, like, you know, who read like these kind of parenting books and go like, I need to eat at this hour, they need to sleep at this hour, you know, they need to be like, you know, nap is between 1 and 2 because that's what the book tells me or whatever. But then after you've like
by
the second kid, they're just like, whatever, like, you know, just we've gotten through this, like, whatever. I think it's the same. I know this is fucking very dangerous point, but like,
it says two lads that don't have kids.
No, but I'm just going from others' experiences. But I think that it's the same with like any experience with anything. Like the fact that like I've had a few points week on week, and I'm like, fuck, I know. Sure, I know what to do now, like, you know, so I know
the lip is in.
I know the lip is in, I know what I have the experience in the lip now, like. Whereas I think if you're off it for a while, like you've lost that bit of experience and you're gone.
There's an edge to the lip then, like.
There is, yeah.
They'll quiver now. I find that like if I haven't been somewhere for a while, even like you just get that touch of like, fuck, what'll I have, like, you know.
Yeah.
And your mind races. And it's similar to when you haven't gone out, like when you go out for a meal regular enough, you're confident enough around the menu. And once you haven't gone out for a meal
for a while,
the anxiety around ordering something.
I'll tell you what, right? Kira is the biggest bottler going on when it comes to the meals, right? So every time
we did go, have the salmon cooked, and she'd ask to change her order, kind of thing.
No, she's she's like your man from that an ad for like Air or something where they're asking about, like, you know, he gets his hair cut and it's absolutely horrendous, and it's that Irish attitude of like, oh, it's lovely, you know. Like, she's the same, like, she's the same. She'll, whatever she orders, it'll be fine, like, but she'll be still disappointed in it, like, you know. But she overthinks her order. She's like, oh, like, I haven't tried this, or, you know, oh, that sounds lovely, or whatever. And I'm like, hold on a minute. What do you fucking like on the menu? Don't be trying to, like, get the nicest thing on the menu, if it's, even if it's not in your taste buds or not, like, just select the right thing altogether.
But I think as well, when you're out frequently as well, you have the kind of innate courage to just order something new and go for it, like, you know.
I know, yeah.
You don't have to have that internal battle of...
Yeah, no, but, like, I think, like, I could order, say, like, if we went to, like, say, 4 or 5 different restaurants around here, right, I could order burger and all of them because I wanted burger in all of them, right? But I didn't have an internal struggle that, like, I had ordered a burger the last time and, like, oh, I should try now, like, a chicken in this place because I had a burger in the last place, or the last time I was here I had the burger, but I should have the chicken this time. Like, no, I fucking like the burger. Like, I'm gonna have, like, I actually think that looks nicer than I've seen the chicken here. Like, so I'm not like, it's not a, like, a thing where, like, I have to fucking complete the menu, you know, like 100% the menu, like, you know.
Like playing GTA, like, yeah. I've only completed 57%. Yeah. What do I have to do? Off picking people up in taxis in GTA. Oh, brilliant.
Anyway, we're running low on the first point of there, so...
Before we take the break,
yeah.
Quick word to something we found on Netflix earlier today, before we came out. Lads, Maradona in Mexico.
Oh, stop. So, this thing started off the worst possible... Well, actually, no, it started off the best possible way. So, we were getting the dinner ready. We said, well... turn on the trailer for this and see what the crack is, right?
So literally.
So the trailer pumped us up. The trailer was amazing. So fucking good. Like, it just, like, primes up Maradona being an absolute head case and, like, pumping up players, really good football, everything. And then we turn on the first episode. And I'd say we got maybe 3 minutes into the first episode, right? We watched the first... like tiny pre title screen bit, and we were like, oh, what the fuck is going on? It was like Diego Maradona speaking in Spanish, and then there was like this English dubbed over him, like this kind of weird Yankee, like
it was almost like as if a Hispanic person who wasn't comfortable with English was dubbing English over Spanish.
Yeah, with like a kind of an American-y twang. It's very bad. And then...
that kind of non-native English speaker who's learned their English from watching American TV shows.
Yeah. So then we went on... then we went to the title, the theme tune or whatever for the show, which is amazing. It's in Spanish. They have the English subtitles up. And it was just ridiculously good. It's just all about Diego Maradona and him arriving in Mexico. And
he goes to like, Sinaloa, the drug capital of Mexico.
The drug cartel capital of Mexico.
A guy who's had his troubles with addiction, and we watched the first 2 episodes. I can't wait to get tucked into the rest.
But, right, we watched the title, the theme tune, right, and then we watched about another minute of the thing. Right, and we're like, this fucking American voice is so fucking annoying. So then, this is the only way you can watch this show, right?
Set, 100%.
Set your Netflix settings to audio to Spanish original, so the original Spanish, and then change your subtitles to English, right? So that you're watching it in Spanish, but just reading it, because it is amazing hearing. Because with the American voice, you can't hear Maradona's voice, no. Or you can't hear anybody else's voice.
And the inflections are key, like,
no, well. Yeah, but like, it's the same guy doing the voice for everyone, so like, you don't even get
you lose the entire character of the show.
It is like, he goes absolutely off the rails. Like, it's so good.
Stop. And on that note, like, Van Most to the rest of the podcast, we're gonna stop now, fill up the pint glasses, and fucking drive on.
So we're back in the room there, and we've just replenished our pints of vitamin G.
The boys are drinking Guinness and J.K. Welch's. They're going on the rise with Diego Maradona.
Actually, I'd say that would be too intense.
I don't think he'd be able to.
I don't think I'd enjoy that.
He's about 35 year on us, like.
Yeah, but what a 35 year.
Ah, absolutely. He made the most of it.
I wonder how much he got to go to Sinaloa, like.
You see, this is what I said to you after the first episode of that documentary we were watching.
Mm.
It's a limited series. I don't know how many there are. I presume there's like... We've watched two and it's close. Like, I'd say they'd be lucky to get two more out of it.
Sure, they're in our playoffs now at this stage, aren't they?
I don't be giving away spoilers to the boys.
Sure.
And the girls.
It's not like...
I reckon the president of the club went to Netflix and said, if I can convince Maradona to come, will you film a documentary about it?
Yeah.
And I'd say he had no clue whether to go well or bad or indifferent.
Yeah, but sure, it's not like if it's going to go bad, it's still publicity. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so
he was making a few pounds no matter what way he went about it. Like,
yeah,
I'd say he got paid well. I'd say he got paid very well, but I'd say it was sponsors were paying him more.
We're gonna have to update the listeners when we finish this series because at the moment
everything seems rosy at the moment. We'll do a bonus episode on the Maradona documentary. We call it the bonus bump. Anyways, I was actually saying to earlier on.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of chat this week in particular about the season that we're in. That's what I want to get onto.
Oh.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? basically, I heard a Christmas song on the radio for the first time today.
Did you? What song?
Last Christmas, which is very close to Christmassy, like.
Yeah.
So, I heard a Christmas song on the radio for the first time today. The John Lewis ad came out today.
Yeah.
Thursday the 14th of November. And also, on top of that, in the last week or so, you've had like Christmas lights popping up in city centres around Ireland and stuff like that. An awful lot of time there's a push for Christmas stuff really early in the year. Now, when I was a teenager, when I was 15, I worked in a toy store, and there was complications around that when it came to Christmas. That, like, in terms of stocking toys, in terms of all that kind of stuff, you almost had to order from wholesalers. You were ordering from wholesalers in the US and the UK. You had to anticipate what would be the big hits of Christmas.
Yeah.
So you were trying to order ahead. Now, bear in mind that it's a bit mad that, like, I had the freedom of my to order ahead from my section as a, like, 15-year-old part-timer. Right. Well, I remember the year that I worked, I might have mentioned this in a podcast previously, the year of 2005 or 2006 maybe, that I was working in this toy shop during the summer.
Tickle me Elmo.
No, that was a bit...
When was that? Was that 2001 or so, was it?
I have no idea.
It was definitely at a time after, like, it was appropriate for us, but not that far.
I don't think a Tickle Me Elmo is appropriate for any.
That was a big hit, man.
It was, yeah. But the year I'm talking about was basically, so I went to look at the order sheet and I was looking after trikes, bikes, like, you know, the outdoor kind of stuff. Looking at, actually, there's a few off my conversations I had with that. I was looking after trikes, bikes, and like, you know, like goalposts and all this kind of crack and outdoor, like Nerf guns and all this shit. And I remember going to do it, and Joy, you'd have a standard tricycle and you'd have the exact same tricycle branded.
Yeah.
And it'd be like 20 quid more.
So like a Spider-Man bike versus
But the year that it was in it, it hadn't come out in cinema yet when I was placing the order. But I said to the manager, Cars is going to be a huge hit.
Yeah.
So when we were placing Christmas order in May, June, I said, order heaps of Cars stuff. And I said, for my section, I would advise getting loads of Cars, tricycles, scooters, all this kind of crack, jazz, like, you know.
Yeah.
So you're trying to predict what's going to be big at Christmas. So like, it's getting a bit easier now in a more informatic age, like where, like, obviously Frozen 2 is going to be like the big go to like this year, and it's going to be really hard to
I
get
suppose
your
as
hands
well
and stuff
like now it's kind of like it's like teaser trailer,
yeah,
trailer
all that crack,
one,
like,
trailer two.
You can see on YouTube in April what's going to be coming out.
Yeah. And there's, you know by the feel of things now how they're going to pump it, like, you know, they're going to market.
For sure, you got pre-sale online and all this kind of shit. They can be sold out of stuff before they even have it in.
Yeah.
So like commercially, it's a lot easier for those kind of places now to be ahead of the curve. But like back then, I remember like pre-ordering the car shit and all that. And this was May, and it was a bit alien to be thinking about Christmas in May back then. And it's kind of, the whole thought process for Christmas has creeped further up the year as we go on. And now it's the case where, like, I was in Aldi about a month ago, in the middle of October, and they had an aisle that was one side Halloween shite, and another side Christmas shite, right? And I was a bit like, no, this is too much for me now.
Mm.
So what I was asking you is, like, when is it appropriate for shops, towns, TV ads, all this crack to be pushing the Christmas agenda? Give me a date to the day.
So I think, right, and this is controversial enough, right, but I think it's fair game straight after Halloween.
You think straight after Halloween?
1st of November is fair game, right?
Yeah.
So I just think like that, like they can push from there. Like, so, like, Kira,
you've got 55 days to Christmas from the 1st of November.
I know you do, right? But at the same time, you also have a very, like, depressing, like, kind of, like, quieter part, you know, like, you know, darker evenings, you have, like, quieter nights, right?
The shortening
is happening, right?
Yeah.
So, I think that by having, like, an event that you can build up to, and, like, it's actually, I think actually the build up to Christmas is nearly the best bit of it. Like,
100%.
You know? And like for us this year, because things are getting so busy, and like we have an expanding population, we have like expanding businesses and towns and stuff, but we haven't had like the amount of centres or venues for us to have Christmas parties match up accordingly with that. So, like, we're going to have our Christmas party on the 29th of November this year. So, like,
earliest it's ever been.
It's a week earlier. We normally have it at the first weekend in, or the first Friday of December, but it's been pushed back a week before that. So, it's the last Friday in November now. But, like, at the same time, like, I wouldn't like us to, because, like, before, I would have said, like, when I was younger, I would have said 1st of December. I would have been like, that is Christmas. That's the beginning.
December is the Christmas month.
December is Christmas month. So from there on is good to go. I would have definitely have been of the mindset, November's too early. No. Don't be fucking wrecking Christmas. Like, it's that month or whatever. But now, like, this year, we're having it on the 29th of November. And, it'd be kind of weird if we went to it and like there hadn't been like a bit of like Christmassiness.
Yeah, like, that's fair enough.
Coming into it, you know.
I think around now is right. I think you need a couple of weeks after Halloween, and I think
maybe ideally you're right. I'm just saying I was saying that the start of November is fair game. I think middle of November now is probably the right time.
Yeah, because I'll put it this way to you. I heard my first Christmas song on the radio right now, and I like it being drip fed to me. It was a shock today, and I was kind of like, oh, that's a pleasant surprise.
Yes.
But I don't want to hear one for another 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I want it to be drip fed and just like it become more condensed towards the end of November.
Yeah.
Whereas I find that if I heard a Christmas song 2 weeks ago, I probably would have vomited on the spot. Like, do you know what I mean?
No, I do.
It's like Halloween was 2 weeks ago today. Like, now, this is the thing, right?
Now, I don't agree with Aldi. I don't agree with what Aldi did.
Oh, that was
there,
bollocks, yeah.
That's bollocks.
That was bollocks. I haven't gone back to Aldi since.
No,
well, I went in on Halloween because I need to get a few bits in case anyone called.
But you kept an eye patch on your left hand side there to avoid that eye.
Yeah, but it was brilliant though. Pissing rain. No one called because of the rain, so I got to eat all the sweets. Worked out well in my favour.
There you go, yeah.
But I don't agree with what Aldi did. If you had a family though, you'd have to be prepared and all that. I understand that. It has to be to the forefront of your mind in terms of budget and shite like that. You can't get into boring adult stuff. But in terms of like the commercialisation of Christmas, I'd rather be condensed into a 5-6 week period than this 2 month long saga that it's becoming.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other thing as well, like that, I find if you condense it down, all of a sudden it becomes like a really, really good 3 to 4 week period, as opposed to this thing where like you I suffer from it terribly when Christmas hits me too early. Christmas burnout. By like the 15th, 16th of December, I'm gone. Couldn't give a flying fuck about Christmas if I get hit with it too early. Whereas if it's just being drip fed to me now, by the time like the 2 weekends before Christmas comes, I'd be full on Christmas jumper wankering it around town.
Yeah.
Full on buzzing off Christmas.
I think definitely it is a thing about structure. So, it's happened to me every year now for the last 5 or 6 years where, like, someone goes to me, like, oh, are you free there? You know, the 15th of December, it's a Saturday. And I'd be like, no. Like, they'll have asked me in August. I'd be like, no. 12 snogs, or I have meeting fellas from college, or I'm meeting fellas from school, or I'm meeting, you know, like literally December is chock-a-block. People are coming home, people, like, you know, I've my best man, I'm his best man, back over Christmas. Like he's been texting me, I'd say about 3 weeks ago, being like, what's your plan from November 30th onwards? Like, so, like, you know,
yeah.
Like, that month is absolutely chock-a-block. But I think, though, that month is absolutely fantastic if you have that. Not everyone has that.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone has that kind of, like, friend structure. So it can be quite a depressing month.
I think as well you're talking about a period where you are in your life. So say, like, we're in a position now where, like, we're in between finishing college, starting a job, earning a bit of money, and starting a family kind of thing, like, or being married or whatever, like. So you're in that crevice where you're in that golden age of where December becomes just a session.
Yeah.
You're in that fucking absolute sweet spot.
Yeah.
And
won't have that now for...
Won't have that for too long.
Don't be any more 30 nights of Christmas.
Yeah, actually, we should do the 30 nights of Christmas. How many nights is it to Christmas? That'd be pretty good. No, I think that's good. Parallel with that now.
Yeah.
Right. Does the silly season when it comes to Christmas coincide with stout season, or are they separate entities?
They're separate entities, I think. Like, you're not kind of like waiting for a Christmas tune to get a pint of Guinness, like.
No,
you
know
what I mean?
No.
You're actually, it's weather dependent,
really, yeah,
isn't it? It's like
global warming.
Well, maybe a touch of global warming, but like, it's also it's the clocks, it's the, like, the evenings, you know, it's the dark evenings that are associated with.
So you're saying, you're saying the middle of October.
Yeah, middle of October.
It's around the 21st of October the clocks go back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or come forward, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think that's the, like, that is the date, like, you know, and, like, but even, like, before that as well, you kind of, like, maybe even, like,
a sneaky
about 4 or 5 days before, like, you know, about four days, 16 hours 12 minutes beforehand.
you just end up with a can of Guinness
in the middle of work.
Oh, that's pretty good. I do think you suffer from Christmas burnout. There's one burnout you never suffer from.
What?
Stout burnout.
No,
you never get a bit of burnt stout.
No, you don't. But because I don't know, like, you, we were in a pub there once, and we were saying, oh, sure, you know, it's getting into stout season now, like, recently enough, like, we're getting into stout season now, like, us coming in, putting stupid heads on us, like, you know, just, like, trying to pull an old phrase out of our arse, like, just to say to the barman, like, sure, it's coming into stout season now, and your man comes back to, sure, it's never out of stout season, like, you know,
we were in a cove.
It was cold.
It was Tom said to us in the cove, yeah. Yeah.
But really, like, cold. I think you're saying, though, that, like, no matter what time of year it is, like, it's just like
Guinness sales are always
Guinness sales, like, never like fluctuate like that much. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like you obviously would see a creeping up during the South Season, but like they're like
it's the like of us who
might
spend the summer drinking ale. And
yeah, see that's it. Like I think in Ireland, like we were saying earlier on, like, you know, this thing of the lack of experience and going in and trying to decide what drink you're having or whatever. But like there's lads in there who are so seasoned that like they couldn't be, they're not changing their order.
Could be 30 degrees outside.
They like Guinness, they like Heineken, they like Carlsberg, they like whatever, right?
Mm.
That is what they're drinking. So you can't change your mind. It's like the weather doesn't change your mind, the wife doesn't change your mind.
Oh, stop. Speaking of that kind of crack, like, do you know what we did some gowling today?
Oh, stop.
Did some absolute mad gowling today, like.
So we went out for lunch there today, and
We were letting a wild goose chase.
Oh yeah, actually, so big thing across. It's just a marketing ploy, I suppose, at the moment, but it sounds delicious. But it's an orange twirl. The big mover in the
chocolate world.
In the chocolate trending world at the moment, and we haven't had a nibble of it yet because we can't find it. So
I put the feeders out on Twitter today.
We've been to three shops.
Yeah, three shops. A total of three shops. And none of them had them. Arcane Stores hadn't even heard of them.
No, but these were a supermarket, another kind of market.
A grocery shop. A
grocery community market and a petrol station. Like,
I thought the petrol station would come through.
I thought them would as well, like, they'd be fed it. But no, not a fucking thing. So if anybody out there has any orange twirls,
I put it out on Twitter, right?
Please do.
Oh yeah, the main Patreon.
Yeah, no.
Send us orange twirls.
Yeah.
Alan McGuire has a vending machine and work that has orange twirls in them, apparently. I told him, I reckon you could get €3 a bar down the quay.
Yeah.
And Darren Skelton told us that there's a heap of them in the hypermarket.
So
this goes out on Monday, we're recording Thursday, there won't be a heap of them left in the hypermarket. If they're any good.
But yeah, so
DM us for the price.
We did. But anyway, yeah, like, look, I need one. If you can just give me one, please do.
We'll try and sort some out tomorrow. We were letting this wild goose chase, right?
But en route of this wild goose chase, to keep our spirits up, because they were being down by this...
Battered
by this lack of orange twirliness. We decided to play old Simpsons episodes, but not just the episodes, but...
It was just the songs.
Songs from the episodes.
On YouTube, right, so basically what happened was, for I don't know how it happened, we started singing See My Vest on the way out of Arcane Stores.
But I was actually, so I'll tell you this, right, so I was in the shower this morning, right, and you know, in the shower you always have to hit a note, like you have to sing an old tune.
Try to hit a note,
anyway. Yeah, you have to sing an old tune of some sort, right? So, in the shower this morning, for some reason, I just got See My Vest in my head. Like,
it happened to you, though. Do you know what? I'm going to have a hot take on this. You made a subconscious link between the cold weather and needing to wear a vest.
Needing a vest, and just came back to Monty Burns getting the old greyhounds, you know, for a vest.
For a tux.
For tux, yeah.
It was a grill vest.
For a grill vest, yeah. But, we started roaring that on the way to the
car. On the way to the car. And then I found this. So I looked up on Spotify, and there's a See My Vest playlist that has no songs from The Simpsons on it. I'm really disappointed. So I went to YouTube, and there's a YouTube playlist of Simpsons musicals.
Mm.
And we went through See My Vest.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Zeus. We only got through four of them now between the... Because all the shops are in a condensed area.
Yeah.
We weren't travelling for miles looking for these orange twirls. We had to go back to work. What is it? The monorail song.
Yeah.
And we had one more. Did we?
The Stonecutters.
Stonecutters. Oh. Which. Right, we get on to that in a minute. A few notable absentees.
Yeah.
I'm checking in. I'm chicken. No more pills or alcohol. No more goddamn fun at all. So what got us into this conversation throughout the rest of the day about The Simpsons and about how, like, absolutely ahead of its time early Simpsons was, and about the the amount of shit that they've predicted, the amount of shit that they've come forward with, that, like, when you look back now we're both of the same mind of this, like, later Simpsons isn't even near. Now, I wonder, right, we're looking at this through the prism of the fact that they've predicted a lot of stuff. And is there a bit of looking backwards and saying, that's fucking brilliant? And will a generation in 10 years' time be saying, Jesus Christ, that episode of The Simpsons with Ed Sheeran was bang on? I don't think the writing quality is up there like it was. Like the Stonecutters episode.
I just don't think kids nowadays are as into The Simpsons as we were, because there's probably, like, such a plethora of choices apart from The Simpsons now, whereas, like, Sky One, Half Seven, like, was the time, like, you know.
But, like, you were lucky to have Sky One when we were kids as well.
Yeah.
I remember walking 10 minutes to my aunt's house just to see The Simpsons one night, because our TV was down. But I think, like, The Simpsons, like, you look at Irish Simpsons fans, the main page on Facebook, they've got a political party now that's bigger than several political parties in Ireland at the moment, just taking a piss, like, you know, it is that big for our generation. The early series, they're so well written, like.
Well, like, actually, there's a thing with the Irish Simpsons fans page, or Irish Simpsons fans memes, and, like, a lot of those, like, Twitter accounts and stuff, that they will only accept images from seasons 1 to 11. They won't accept anything later than that, because, like,
even though my most successful meme was one of from last year.
Good way.
I put up Lisa and Ed Sheeran playing music together with the caption, she played the fiddle in an Irish band but she fell in love with an English tan. That was a 500 or 600 liker.
Oh, that's goodie.
And that was 2 years ago, and 500 or 600 likes wasn't great.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't great, it was hard to come by.
Right, yeah.
As I said to Alan McGuire, like, when you were in Japan, sure, anyone can get fucking a 1,000 likes these days on that page. Every second post gets it.
I know, yeah. And then they kick off people. Anyway, that's a different fucking
issue. Oh, yeah, no, I don't want to get involved in that now.
Yeah.
I've been kicked off several times.
The original Simpsons series are quality. So, favourite episodes that you have, The Simpsons?
There's some serious standout ones, right? The song that was starting just as we were pulling into the car park from worked in was the one where the one where Sideshow Bob gets out.
Oh, the HMS Pinafore one.
HMS Pinafore, and he threatens to kill, and, like, they have to go into protective custody. That episode is like the whole scene is of Mr. Samson.
Yeah.
I know.
I think he's talking to you.
It's so good, like. I think a lot of them are seasoned.
Bart, what do you think? What do you think about Hockey Mask?
Oh, like, it's just, there are some really iconic ones. When you think about, it depends on when you watch them as well, right? So as a kid, I always hated the one where Marge became really good bowling and went off
with your man,
and she went to the motel.
That was very early, yeah.
But, like, when you look at that as an adult, it's actually really fucking deep and really, really good.
It's a really good play on what's the film that is taken off? Is it The Bodyguard? Is it?
Yeah.
Is
the one taken off The Bodyguard, not when Homer goes and wins the award, which won Mindy. Oh, Mindy, came. Think of sexy thoughts. Think of sexy thoughts. Barney in the bikini.
It's
an officer and a gentleman, I think, yeah, is the one that one's taken off.
There's like when you think about the era of The Simpsons, there's so many absolute classics. So like we've mentioned, the monorail episode is absolutely out of this world. Fucking good, right? The episode where Krusty fakes his own death.
That's
gripping. And it's, when you think all these episodes are like 22 to 24 minutes long, right? And there's so much gets in with them. And the Quickie Mart one. Who needs a Quickie Mart?
Oh yeah. Frank Grimes is my favourite episode of all time.
Frank Grimesy, like.
Grimesy.
And the only favourite thing about it is every time I go to Phil Grimes, right? I do a little like a little kiss on the finger and point to the screen for Frank Grimes. But if you're asking me, it's a flip of a coin probably between two. The Stonecutters one.
Yeah.
The Stonecutters one is funny on so many levels because, like, as a child, it was really funny and really catchy, and there was loads to it that I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
As a fella in his 20s, who's and in the era of memes and shit, like there was like the remove the stone of whatever and attach the stone, and there was the paddling bit as well. But when you become that, like when you're coming into your 30s and you realise how the world works and how capitalism works and shit like that, and then you listen to the lyrics of the song in the Stonecutters, who keeps back the electric car? Like, but they're fucking spot on, like, do you know?
Absolutely.
It's mind blowing. It's absolutely brilliant. It's a flip up between that and I think when you think about the impact that Who Shot Mr. Burns had at the time for a fucking cartoon.
Yeah. It was their play on Who Shot JR.
Yeah.
They literally just like nearly stole the limelight from that, like for our generation. I remember being like, "Who the fuck did you like?" And like,
but as well, like
seven or eight or at the time.
When you think about how like fucking like ahead of the curve they were in loads of social issues as well, like you had the closet gay and Will and Smithers.
Yeah.
And like in the 1990s, in Ireland, like homosexuality wasn't decriminalised that long.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know what to do. Was it 93 when it was?
93 was,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when you look at, you know, we all have aunts, uncles who are spinsters or are bachelors in old age, and like, that's, we look at Paddy and Selma and the way they're going down their relationship with the family, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so, like, every single character has so much depth to them.
I know, and reflective of that time. And like, there's been kind of, like a bit of like lashback of The Simpsons, like now, like in terms of like, oh, it's antiquated in its views, or like some of the characters can be a bit like, but racist or sexist or whatever.
What I think that is, that's The Simpsons reflecting what society truly is.
Yeah.
And it's people being uneasy with the role that they played in society. It's the kind of thing where like, I can't remember it's when you look at people who call out like the Catholic Church in Ireland and stuff like that. When you look at the Magdalene laundries in Ireland and people are like, you knew what was going on just because you didn't condone it.
But
you didn't speak out against it doesn't make you right. Like, and it's people's uneasiness with their own like fucking affiliation with the time and shit like that. But it's so good. We were talking about who's the best cartoon character, right, you've ever come across in your lifetime. And we talked about this. I did a good bit of thinking about this. And we both said earlier on today, it's so hard to look past Homer Simpson. Like.
Yeah, no, I actually just...
I don't think there is anyone.
Yeah.
It's really hard to look.
I think you kind of have to look as well across like your like age profile as well. Because like at different points in my life, I thought that like different characters were like absolutely so funny or so cool or you know
just
really like enamored me at different points in my life. But like,
there was a tweet, or it could have been a comment actually, on Irish Simpsons fans today, where I think there's been some new release for Pokemon this week, right?
Mm.
And someone put up like a Pokemon meme, And I just went on to, I don't know what triggered me to go into comments. I went into comments. And there was like this massive debate about what was the best Pokemon game or whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
And there was a comment that just struck me, and it was like, it's so fucking true. It's hit the absolute nail on the head. And it was like, the best Pokemon game is, and an asterisk, insert name of Pokemon game released when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And that's what it is with The Simpsons. Like.
Yes.
That's what it is, animated, comedy, animated TV series and stuff. It's like, your age then. So like you were saying there, like different phases of your life, different characters have impacted on you.
Yeah. So yeah, I suppose if I go, right, if I go maybe, if I go say, okay, like 6 or 7, I thought at that age, maybe I think the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were like the fucking bomb then. Like
skateboarding.
Skateboarding, like messing
nunchucks. And
yeah. And like they just had such a cool, like easy go lucky life, and like they're actually like aspirational, that you were like, I would love to be one of these
Ninja Turtles.
I would love to be one of these boys, like, you know. And then like you get like say like maybe like 9 or 10, and I don't know if you know, but do you remember Batman the animated series?
Yeah.
That was dark as fuck, like, that was...
Oh,
like,
100%, yeah.
That was really, like, dark.
So was X-Men.
So was X-Men.
X-Men
so
was incredibly dark.
So was X-Men, and, like...
Spider-Man less so.
Yeah, Spider-Man less so. But it still had that kind of, that same kind of, like... It was only because, I suppose, Peter Parker and Spider-Man were so fucking happy-go-lucky and
yeah.
messy and, you know, fun. But, like,
and they were young as well, like,
and you're young,
he was young.
But, like... Fucking Batman, Wolverine, Cyclops, you know, all the boys were
Storm.
They're all like really dark and
intense characters.
Intense, like you know, and like.
But I think Stan Lee created a lot of them for adults.
Yeah.
So he was an adult creating them for adults, I think, and it just kind of got animated, and that's how the money came out. But like.
But I then really admired them, and then coming into I suppose. Young teenagers, like our tweens, I suppose, and then I think like Nickelodeon hit like really big then and stuff. So you had the likes of like Hey Arnold,
Recess,
Doug. Doug is fucking quality.
Mm-hmm.
Rugrats was. Actually, Rugrats, I think, stood like across a couple of.
I was going to say that to you, like Rugrats was so.
Growing up
in Ireland in the '90s, Rugrats was always on after Bosco when you went home from school.
Yeah.
So it just became institutionalized, and it just became part of growing up in '90s Ireland.
Yeah.
Where like the Rugrats was just on, and you had 4 TV channels, and it was either Rugrats or Countdown, and you were 7 years of age, so you were going to watch Rugrats. Or you were 9 years of age, you were going to watch Rugrats instead of Countdown.
Yeah.
So, great fucking theme tune, by the way.
Yeah.
The team shooter Rugrats, like that like squeaky accordion.
Klasky Kasupo, isn't it?
It's yeah.
Like
yeah.
Fucking producers.
Absolutely. Rugrats, you threw down a few names of just different animations throughout the like 90s and early noughties in Ireland here. And like I did throw Rugrats down here in Recess. Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z then was when like Japanese anime.
Yeah, that was the end of my. Well, like, I definitely...
That's the transition into, like...
So, I think... So, Pokemon, the game for, like, the...
Game Boy. Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy. It was Game Boy. It was actually before the Advance. So, Game Boy and Game Boy Color were Pokemon Red and Blue.
And Yellow.
Mm. And I think Silver and Gold might have also been
2013, 2014. They were the Advance...
Yeah, I think they could have been cross. I think they could have been on both, but like you would have got better graphics on the Advance or whatever.
Yeah.
And then whatever the fuck was that after that for sure. And again, as you were pointing earlier on, insert best.
Yeah, exactly.
Game from this time because I just lost interest after that. But wait, what was the question?
It's animated characters. Like when I think you talk about. Animated characters like Ash Ketchum is really up there.
Yeah,
like he's a real
and Misty and
Brock.
Yeah, quality. Like.
I recently I was minding Niamh's niece and nephew, who are 12 and 10. And it was like wet weather one day, they were in my house, and I was like, fuck, what do I do with them? And I was like, we watch a bit of telly, I threw on Netflix, and Pokemon Indigo League came up, and I was like, have you ever seen Pokemon? They were like, Pokemon shit. And I was like, have you ever watched a cartoon? They were like, it's not a cartoon, it's a game. And I was like, no, it's a cartoon, you have to watch this. We were watching the first episode, and after 10 minutes, the two of them were like, this is fucking terrible, like, turn it off. And I was like, stick with it. Three episodes in, came up to the house 2 weeks later, and they'd watched the entire lot, and they were like, fucking obsessed. And it's that kind of thing where, like, I think when you're at that age group, when you're like just pre-adolescent, it's fucking ideal. Ash Ketchum, like, was fucking the man. But I think throughout all that, like, Pokemon is very much that age group, 8 to 12, 13, right? Rugrats is very much like 5 to 10. Hey Arnold and Recess are very much are 10 to 14. But The Simpsons is like any age
cross-generation
range. Any age range. It's, you can watch it as an adult and get as much enjoyment out of it as you did, like, as a child.
But, like, you just miss different jokes as well. Like, the jokes that go across are, like, completely different.
But it's so well written, like.
It's so well written, like.
In every single scene, there's a bit for the child and a bit for the adults.
Yeah.
And there's a bit for in between as well, like.
Ah, oh, it's so good.
I remember, like, it's like, it's similar to that 70 show. Watching The Simpsons with my Uncle Ollie, who's like 12 years older than me. And I remember if he was minding me, and we'd be watching The Simpsons or something like that 70 show, which was non-animated. And I remember there was bits that I really, really got and found really funny that he found really funny. And then there was bits I can remember, like, laughing watching it just because he's laughing.
Yeah.
And something going completely over my head.
Yeah.
But he laughed, so I'd laugh, like, you know, just to kind of be the cool kid. It's hard to look past Homer Simpson as an animated character, as a better animated character. But there are a couple of, I suppose, animated series as you get older then. So, like, the things I jotted down were, like, Family Guy and South Park. You also have, like, a couple of animated series later on as well, like Rick and Morty, that I haven't really gotten into, or Archer, I've never really gotten into, American Dad either.
Yeah.
But, like, I've watched a lot of Family Guy and I watched a lot of South Park.
Yeah.
And
actually, I'll tell you another one that is got cancelled too early, and there's been uproars. Futurama.
Futurama was really good, yeah.
Fucking quality, like, you know.
I forgot it even existed.
Yeah, and it's just because, like, it just went off, and like, Fox didn't renew it, and, you know, they did renew it for a season and stuff, but, like, there is some very, very good quality, like, one episode stories, like Simpsons, like, similar to The Simpsons, where it was like the monorail episode or whatever.
Yeah.
You're just kind of like that episode where, with, like, flying the dog, the episode where, like, Mina meets her parents in the sewers, like, all those, like, episodes where it's just like a story, like mini film, like, start to finish, and you're just like, you know, you've condensed, like, this perfect amount of humor into this episode,
but it still just somehow ties in with the entire story.
Yeah, exactly.
Olaf,
exactly,
like,
yeah.
South Park, though.
Yeah.
Right. South Park has managed to stay somewhat relevant and keep graphics of the late 90s.
Yeah.
But, like, they've kind of, right, they've improved the pixelation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's still gone with the same 2D, very basic team.
Yeah. Like, same thing.
But that lends to its character and its humour. And there are some seriously iconic episodes of South Park, like.
Oh, stop. Like, it's, like, so, like, I think I was saying to you earlier on this week, like, that South Park, like, have, well, this was, like, a documentary, like, watching a couple of years ago, but they have, like, a turnaround of, like, 6 days, I think, from, like, conception of an episode to, like, publication, so that they can, like, write an episode. So I think it was for the 2012 US presidential election, where it was Obama and, who was it? Was it John McCain?
Yeah.
Were in the election, and they had ended up doing a episode for if McCain won or if Obama won, and, like, just published the one.
Whichever
was,
one, like, whichever yeah. one. Wouldn't but, you love to watch the unpublished one?
I know, yeah. yeah. But, like, they had the two yeah. of them, like, just lined up, and, like, they didn't know, like, I don't think they knew, like, the storyline, because, like, one of the main parts of the storyline had only broken the week before or whatever. So, like, you know, it is brand new. It's not as if they're even writing yeah. this episode. Like, you know, it's like, so they have that, like such a huge work ethic and such a great, like, team. That, but, like, obviously very, very simplistic animation. They've, like, the backgrounds of their episodes are the same for years, so, you know.
I heard this brilliant piece on Mother Folklore with Kirsten Shields, who's the animator for, she does the sketches for their episodes, right, where yeah. she'll do like a sketch of whoever the guest is for Mother Folklore that week, and she's an animator for like cartoons and films and stuff like that. And she was saying that the reason when they were animating South Park they chose like a
white background
is because it's just so much easier to sketch,
yeah.
Like, it's so much easier, and that they can get the quick turnaround then as well.
Yeah.
There's some... But right, give me... Before we finish up, because we fill up the pint glass, have another pint, and we've gone on quite a bit, give me your favourite South Park character.
Oh, probably Butters.
Oh, I was going to say Butters. 100%, yeah.
Butters is just so good, like, just... But...
We all know Butters.
No, actually, okay. If you're gonna say Butters, I'm gonna say probably Randy then. Like, Randy's the fucking
the testicle episode.
Or the one where he has like the biggest shit in the world.
Yeah,
that is where it ends up being.
I think if you're talking about favorite episodes of an animation as well, if you're talking about South Park, the one where the internet goes.
Oh yeah.
We're going California way.
Yeah.
Or the other
weed
one.
Episode, you know,
the weed episode is brilliant. But I think as well the one where so I talk with Kira, like your fiance, but I call her the coon, like.
Oh yeah. Any of the Michael Jackson episodes are fucking quality. The superhero
ones as well. The Barbra Streisand one.
Yeah. Netflix has them all now, like, which
does
is
it,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
so
that
I think though. Between episodes, so I think like it has maybe our seasons 1 and 2, and then I think between like 3 and like 20 it has like a few best of episodes, and then it has all the later seasons as well.
Brilliant.
So, yeah.
Must get into that now. That's really good. Before we go, lads, you know where the Patreon is, www.patreon.com/snowcast. If you want to buy a cup of coffee, a price of a pint a month, or maybe even more, you can go and have a look at the tiers. There are benefits there. We'll get on top of that. We've been a bit lax the last couple of months in terms of all this kind of stuff, literally because we've been so busy, but we're back in Jacob Welch and we're back on the pints.
If you want to catch us on the socials, we're available on Instagram @Snowcast, we're available on Twitter @Snowcast, we're available on Facebook @facebook.com/Snowcast.
Yeah, we're terrible for Facebook because it's shite.
Yeah.
But we're on the other ones, we keep an eye on the other ones.
I don't know, if someone sends a message on Facebook, we'll probably catch it.
Absolutely.
If everyone sends us an email, we're thesnowcast@gmail.com. If you want to send us a voice message, we're on
anchor.com/snowcast. And the other thing as well, if you're from fucking Waterford, DM us.
Yeah.
Go for a pint.
Yeah. We'll check you out.
Great. Now we're going to go offline and I'm going to tell you about a possible drinking session in Kilkenny.
So,
stay away from yourself.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.